Hi guys, welcome back to We Should Talk, a pop culture interview series from In the Know. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and this week on the podcast, we have Amy Phillips, host of Reality Checked on SiriusXM's Radio Andy, as well as the co-author of the new Real Housewives-inspired cookbook, Cook It, Spill It, Throw It, the Not-So-Real Housewives parody cookbook, which she wrote with Stuart O'Keefe. And Amy is also the preeminent Real Housewives impersonator. Her impressions are everywhere. They're amazing. She's such a pro. And so it was really fun to get some time with Amy to talk about the book and her various other projects, as well as her impressions and how Housewives have reacted to them over the years. She shared a kind of a juicy little tidbit of a recent interaction she had with Bethany about her impression of her. And I don't think she'd ever told that story before, so that was interesting to hear. So keep listening for that. And we also just did sort of a state of the union of all things Bravo. You know, we went through different franchises and different kind of hot topics around the Bravo universe, and she shared her thoughts on it. And it was just really fun to chat with her because she's such a pro. She is such an amazing person, and it was really fun to connect with her. So please keep listening for my interview with Amy Phillips. Tune into Reality Checked from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern every weekday on Radio Andy, and order Cook It, Spill It, Throw It anywhere you get your books. It's everywhere. It's a great gift for the Bravo lover in your life or yourself. And please rate, review, and subscribe to We Should Talk on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so we are here with Amy Phillips, the queen of Real Housewives impersonations, the host of Reality Checked on Radio Andy on SiriusXM, as well as the co-author of the newly released book, Cook It, Spill It, Throw It, the Not-So-Real Housewives parody cookbook, which I have right here. Oh. Amy, how are you?
Hello. Oh, I'm great. I'm so great. Thank you for having me.
Of course. We were just talking, but I feel so blessed that our paths have crossed so many times over the past month. I was on Reality Check talking about Project Runway a couple weeks ago. We met for the first time in person backstage at Watch What Happens Live. You were a guest with Meredith Marks, the one and only. Now you're on We Should Talk. I don't know how we got so lucky.
I don't know. It's our real meet cute. We've fallen in love, and can't stop, won't stop. Scared yet?
I'm all in. I'm all in, baby. But I think what's fun is that that's kind of part of this like Bravo adjacent world that we're in, is like you have all these online friendships and relationships and people that that's you love interacting with online. But especially nowadays, to be able to like really make that in-person connection, I think is really special.
I agree. I totally agree. And sometimes it clicks, sometimes it doesn't click. And I've found that like this whole Bravo world is very cool. It seems like it's like people are just very, for watching people tear each other down on television, like the community is very uplifting, which is that, like the irony.
That's a good juxtaposition to have.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree.
So Cook It, Spill It, Throw It is now out in the world now. Like you're doing an amazing press tour for it. How does it feel to have it out there now and for everyone to enjoy?
It kind of feels like, and people have said this before, it's like, I had a baby, like I had a book and I had a baby. That's kind of how I feel. I have a couple of friends who are one really close friend who's about to have her baby this week. I had a friend that had a baby a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, and I just had a baby too. And it's a little cute little book. and that it feels so great because I feel like our hard work really paid off. It was a long time coming, especially when COVID hit, obviously that arose a lot of challenges in terms of shooting the photography and things like that. And Stuart and I could never really get together that often. So that was a little bit of a bummer, but after all of the challenges that we went through, I feel very happy about it. There may be some errors in there. I don't know. I hope not, but
I haven't spotted any.
We'll see what happens. And, but yeah, I'm really excited about it. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I haven't earmarked anything in here, but I'm just going to flip through and like name some of these recipes because the names alone are just so good.
I've been cooking a lot.
Oh, what a one to start with. We have the Poupat peach cobbler, which obviously referencing the Dallas moment. This is one of my favorites. Mention It All, Fredo. Like, come on.
Thank you.
Obsessed. And I mean, we have Scary Island skirt steak in Jill's Zarinade.
Yes. Oh, gorgeous. That's a really great recipe. Is that a good one? Too. Yes. The marinade is amazing. I'm sorry. The Zarinade is amazing.
this is Erin Aid. And then Drag Brie, Monique Drag Brie. I mean,
yes, of course,
that's just a really small sampling of some of the, I mean, just the names alone are so clever, but the food and the drinks and everything in there look amazing. What are some of your favorites in there?
Well, the cool thing about this is that it's a Real Housewives parody cookbook. I mean, it's a parody. It's supposed to be jokey. My titles are goofy and punny, and the blurbs are supposed to take you back into history and remember that moment. But it is a real cookbook because it's actually a real chef. I mean, this is just not me. I mean, I am not like, I'm probably like more of a cook, not a chef. But Stuart is actually a chef, not a cook. And so that takes us very far. And so I love to cook though. I do. And over the weekend, I actually made the Dutch baby with Yolanda lemons.
Yes. Which is amazing.
I loved it. It is so good. That one was lights out amazing. I made the trash sprinkle cookies over the weekend as well. That is a great recipe. It's not like it's kind of like a complex, just basic cookie in that sense, because like there's some almond extract in there. There's like some more salt than usual. Okay. And you don't have to wait for the dough to like get cold to make it. And it's great with kids because you roll the dough in the sprinkles. Fine. So it's like a yummy cookie. And then I made the Ding Dong Dungeon cake, which is scrumptious, of course, named after Bolo. And I've made a lot of recipes.
The list goes on.
Scary on skirt steak is really good. The Poop Hat peach cobbler is to die for. There's so many. I made the coated casserole. That's really super yummy.
Gorgeous name.
Gorgeous name. I actually made it this weekend and I posted on my stories and Vicky Gunvalson responded to it. She goes, yubby. I did send her
That's
the book.
That's all you can ask for.
I sent her the book and she did a story on it, which was really, really sweet. And she was just like, Amy Phillips told me she was sending me something. She stole my idea. I wanted to do a cookbook. Oh, this is great. Oh, coated a casserole. Like, so she was very supportive. And I'm not sure what she meant about, I think she wanted to do a cookbook. I'm like, Vicky, do a cookbook. We all want it. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, that would bestseller.
That'd
right
be
there.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
I heard she's a good cook.
I believe that. And, you know, I think that kind of gets into something is like, I think your whole line of work and kind of what I do too, which is like you interview some of these people, you parody some of them, you comment on them. And it's a really fine line to walk, right? I mean, it's like, it's a really tough thing to navigate as you definitely know. But you've managed to do it in a way where you have Vicky supporting what you do. You have Andy Cohen writing the forward to the book. You have Kyle and Heather and Margaret and Cynthia and all these people writing quotes to support the book. So you've managed to really walk that line on the right side of that line.
Yeah. But we'll see how long it lasts.
Talk to me about sort of how you do navigate that line, because it's something that I try to work on every day, but it's tough.
I agree. I think you do a phenomenal job. And that is why I was really drawn to you on Twitter, because I love your commentary. I love your perspective because you have a very solid opinion and a perspective, and yet you keep it somewhat light and comedic.
Yeah.
And I respect that so much.
Thank you so much. And
I think both of us can feel like we love the hard dragging accounts too, where they just really go there and like no holds barred, you know? And that's not something that I think that you and I necessarily always do. So we can appreciate that. And I like that there's a world that we can live in where it's like, okay, if you want this, you go here for a hard drag. You know what I mean? Like if you want this.
Absolutely. And we all love that. Right.
I think there's so much room for different perspectives. And that's why I love, like, you just can't have too many of these Bravo accounts because you're always going to get a different perspective. You're always going to get a new, you know, way of thinking on something. And that's what I appreciate about that. For me, this is a work. And I mean, I'm 10 years in, you know, like where I've been doing parodies since Rachel Zoe Project before I even started watching The Real Housewives and even doing parodies of The Real Housewives. So like for me, it was Rachel Zoe kind of opened the door in terms of connecting with a celebrity and them kind of giving you the okay that your impersonation is like something to be celebrated. And so
I love that.
Yeah, it's been really cool. So she sort of I connected with her and then that led to eventually doing Housewives and then Ramona Singer. She does, you know, women supporting women. She was like really right there on the ground floor with me being like, I love this impression. Like, let's go and watch what happens live. And you can be Ramona. I can be Ramona. We'll be Ramona's together. So she was very supportive. So from the beginning, I just kind of went the route of like, I want to celebrate these ladies. I don't want to, when I do impressions of them, I don't always succeed in terms of my vision or intention sometimes, but my intention is to try and celebrate. I don't necessarily want to like, you know, embellish or exaggerate something mean about them.
Right.
It's more what I notice and things like that. So I try to do that. I don't necessarily think that I always succeed in that. I think there are some impressions that I do that maybe may come off a little bit mean or a little bit like one dimensional, and perhaps those people don't appreciate it or don't know about them. You know, I don't know,
right,
but I'm totally okay. I just want to kind of, and the other thing is too, Gibson, is like, I don't always like love to interview the housewives on my show. I don't really do it that often, like mm-hmm. on purpose, because I need to be able to be somewhat objective. I need to talk about them on the show and have like an opinion. So I don't want to be beholden to them. But over the years, I have made connections by default. I mean, that just happens, but not with all of them. There's a very small handful of housewives that I do feel like a connection to. Mm-hmm. And I suppose a loyalty too, but not all of them. So I feel mm-hmm. like I'm still able to be completely objective and do
totally.
My job.
Are some of the ones that you've made the kind of biggest connections with, are those the ones that have been around for longer that has sort of—
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Like yeah. the Ramona Singers, like the Heather Dubrow, like Rinna, you know, that's Vicky, you know, those are the mm-hmm. ones like old school that have been there for a long time, who have been seeing my impressions for years, that are like, have embraced it, and I have that connection with them.
Mm-hmm. It seems like Meredith reacted pretty well to yours on Watch What Happens Live. Like she was a pretty good sport about it, I feel like. And that's a great impression, but she was laughing right there with you.
She was. And it was a little bit like, you know, and she's so understated, right? She's mm-hmm. so understated. So she's like, ha, ha, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, you know, and I'm looking at Seth. And then after the show, it was so funny because we were in the hallway. I could hear Seth be like, Meredith, we got to go. And I ran outside and I'm like, Seth, I'm not leaving. Like I was trying, he was like, what? So it was fun to meet them both in person. And that was a fun one to connect with in person.
Yeah, that for was sure. Wild, and she's, right? Yeah, she has such a distinct delivery on everything. So that's fun. And I'm curious for you, because I mean, we talked about like some of those old, like kind of more established housewives mm-hmm. are the ones that have sort of embrace you. They've had more time to embrace those impressions.
Yes.
But do you, just as somebody again who's a part of this world, do you think there is like some sort of distinction between like some of the women who like some of the older school housewives and some of the newer school people? Like, and where do you think that line is? Like, when did you think? Because I've kind of
media.
Noticed some of that social media.
I think that because you know, the a lot of the housewives that I do have a connection with, this was outside of social media. This was
right.
You know, I mean, I know that we had like YouTube, obviously, so that was happening. But I think that social media really changed the landscape of the housewives. I think we can all agree, because now it has seeped into the drama mm-hmm. on social media, seeps into the actual show. Then you have people, you're interacting with them. They're not afraid to call you out. They're not afraid to call out accounts. They're not afraid to, you know, say something to you directly. So I think that makes it a little scarier sometimes, because like if I post something, I'll hear from, you know, then if somebody doesn't like it, they're going to DM me, or they're going to comment on it and be like, this is awful, or you suck. Mm. You know, I mean, so it's like, whereas before, I feel like it could be a little bit more anonymous.
There's a safe space.
There yeah. was a safe space. There's no longer a safe space. And I think that in terms of housewives, also in a broad strokes way to answer your question, I think that like housewives have changed because of social media, and they know so much more about what they do need to do to stir up drama, whether it be on the show or off the show on social media.
Yeah.
And they know that that's also a trope and a tactic is, you know, get on Twitter, get on Instagram, do something messy there.
For
and they've
sure.
learned, because the show has been on for so long. So, I mean, mm-hmm. how can they not be affected by it?
Totally. Who do you think does a really great job of that? Like, who do you think navigates the Twitter or Instagram of it all the best, or most savvily? I don't even know if that's a word, most savvy way.
Right. Good question. Well, we all know that Candace and Mia are disasters on Twitter.
We do. As is Jen's social media manager, Jen Shaw's social media manager.
Jen, yes. And I think Erica has done a terrible job navigating that space in not doing herself any favors when we could have been rooting for her more. And that's a regret that that I have for her, not for me.
That's honestly my biggest perspective on that. That kind of, I can't keep coming back to, is like, I don't think she knew. I don't think it's just like the way she handled that is like, it's really tough.
That and on the show was a little tough too, but it just, you know, I gave her, we didn't all give her a bye. I liked to give her a bye for a long time, but then it was just like, help me help you. And and then the reunion was, oh my gosh. But anyway, outside of that, I think Rinna can be pretty interesting on Twitter and on Instagram and stuff, because she is 1,000,000% herself and she is not afraid to talk about, like, she will go there. I know that she has pulled back on the show in terms of stirring it up. Everybody wants to stir up. Everybody wants her to stir it up and be, and call Munchausen's on Erica. They want her to do what she did before. And I'm sorry. Yeah. I just don't agree with that. Things change. People evolve. And I think that, you know, Erica needed an ally and Rinna chose to do it. And she was like, come hell or high water. I don't care how ridiculous this sounds, but I'm just going to stay the course, you know, and that's fine. I had no problem with that. I think that on social media, I think that Rinna is like just fully herself. She doesn't necessarily, she'll stir it up with other people sometimes. Like she will go after Vanderpump sometimes and do that kind of thing. And I love Vanderpump too. So, you know, I'm not like taking sides there, but
For sure.
I do think that Lisa will just put it out there regardless. And I respect that. I think that she stands on her own when it comes to her opinions and how she feels. And I can appreciate that. Who do you think? I'm curious.
I mean, I agree. I actually think that, because I've had a kind of interesting just like mindset with Rinna in the past couple of years. I think it's like sort of an up and down with her.
Yes,
but absolutely. I do think that on Instagram, like she has really, I mean, when she posts those Instagram stories that are just like, it's just like a blank background and it's just like text and it's just like, sometimes it's pretty cryptic and sometimes it's pretty just like out there. And I'm like, I kind of appreciate that. And I think that she and sometimes it's calling out production or Bravo, or sometimes it's calling out people specifically on her cast. So I think it's, I actually think she does a really good job of that as well.
Yes. Wow. She's transparent. I think we both agree. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I love that. I love that.
I love that.
I love that. Are there any housewives who maybe like didn't embrace an impression that you had of them at first and then maybe came around to it, or?
Yeah, I think Bethany didn't really, I don't know what she thinks of my impression. I think she seems like kind of hot and cold on it. Like she's never really celebrated it and has been pretty muted about it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, so when that happens and I know they've seen it, I assume they do not like it, you know? So I'm guessing she does not like it. And that always surprises me. Like with somebody like her, who is so funny.
She's such a sense of humor too. And she is self-deprecating, to be honest.
Yes,
and so it's surprising.
I know. Yeah. So at first she's been like, she's hot and cold on it. So let me just say this. I don't know. Okay. So now I don't know where we stand now. I'll say that.
Yeah. Okay.
But because when I have done stuff of her, I remember she was on SiriusXM for a little while and, you know, and my show's on SiriusXM. And when she was doing like her first week of shows, I called in as her and I was like, I'm just going to take this risk, you know, cause I love her. And like, she's just top notch housewife. Right. So I called in and I was like, I just want to like say congratulations on your show. Like, and she was like, oh my God, how funny. And she was laughing and she was like, so excited about it. And I was like, oh my God, this is great. And so we had so much fun and we had connected in that way. And then I met her in person one time and she was like, keep doing it. But then the pandemic happened and I did this video where I was like, I have never told anybody this story, by the way. I did this video. It was like, washing your hands, like all the housewives in quarantine.
Right. I remember that. Yeah. That was great.
Okay. And she messaged me and was like, this is like focus on the cause or something. Like this is, you shouldn't be, she admonished me for doing that video.
Okay.
During that time of the pandemic when people were dying and still are, by the way, and was like, you know, there's no room for this. Essentially, she kind of like said, don't do this, you know, and focus on the cause. And I responded like, I am focusing on the cause. I'm a comedian. I bring entertainment to people. That's what I do. Also, I am talking about your foundation on my show and how people can give like every day. I'm talking about how you can give and help people and what they can do. And And I never heard back from her. And I just felt slapped by her because I was like, oh my God, you are like, you know, I hold you in such high regard because you're such a great housewife. And yet now here we are. So I think that probably she's not a fan of mine anymore because of that. I'm guessing we have no, silly. We don't communicate, you know, and I think knowing as much as I do about Bethany, you know, she's a very passionate person. So she was in the midst of like saving lives, literally, like getting ventilators in hospitals when they didn't have them. Like she was doing God's work. She was doing heroic work.
Right.
Who am I to say, like, you know, yeah, I'm doing my little video with wigs. That's really important too. However, I just was like, I said what I said, I did what I did. And I mean, we just have to part ways and it is what it is, but it's unfortunate because you'd think that somebody who is in entertainment would appreciate knowing at that point, like how everyone was just at home, miserable, and everyone's doing what they can. And, you know, it's just what I did.
Yeah. Everyone needed a laugh. And I think that like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think that everyone in those couple of months when it was really the early stages there, it was sort of like everyone did what they could do. And I don't think that you did anything wrong there by any means. And I think that it's interesting to me that she took the time out to, as you said, admonish you for that video. But
yeah, I mean,
and also Bethany, as we know, is she somebody who like, when she sort of like flips on something, she just flips and like doesn't really look back. And that's just how she is.
Yes.
Regardless of if you sort of like explain yourself. So
I agree. And that's the thing. Like I just, when I do my impressions, they're not for the housewives. I mean, they're really not. They're for the fans and to celebrate what we love to celebrate. And so I just have to like compartmentalize and be like, we're not friends. You don't get what I'm doing and that's fine. And we just need to move on. And then that's okay. And that's okay. I can still appreciate and love her as a housewife.
I agree. And I think that, that's enough on the B of it all, but I think that, I don't think you did anything wrong there. So I want to get into like a couple of the shows right now, the Bravo State of the Union, as if you will.
Yeah.
Potomac just wrapped with Nikki co-hosting that part of the reunion. But I think, I think it was another banner season for
amazing.
Potomac. I mean, like
obsessed.
I think some people think it dragged a little bit at the end, but I could watch those women read the phone book. I could watch them, you know, just go out to lunch and do nothing. What did you think of this season overall and sort of where do you hope Potomac goes from here in terms of, do you think the cast should stay the same? Do you think we need new blood? What are your thoughts?
Ooh, I think the cast should stay the same. And I've been up and down about Candace, but when she did that hard pivot to stand for Ashley, I got my socks were knocked off. So that's what I love about Housewives is yes, they can pivot so hard in a direction. And the next thing you know, you're like, I'm listening. Uh-huh. I mean, and I would like to see growth. I want to see Candace's journey. I do, because I think she's not a cunning person, but she really does go in to destroy. And I don't like that. I don't love that. And I think that at some point I would love to see her in her own journey through therapy or whatever, figure out why it is that she does that. So we can see her maybe have some, you know, evolution, as we love to see housewives have evolution. So I would love for that. I cannot believe the moment that we got with Giselle and Karen.
Oh,
that emotional moment.
I literally teared up when that happened. I had a tear roll down my face when
you did.
I literally did. I feel like we've known those women for so long, you know, and we've, mm-hmm. I don't know. It seemed like a breakthrough for them. I really did.
I completely agree. And I think that we understand their relationship. And I think that them going back and forth and giving each other hell and then coming back for this like redemptive moment is just such a beautiful thing. Something that I think, again, they're trying to explain to Candace and she's not getting it, you know, but maybe in the future she will.
Yeah. I mean, how interesting would a season of Potomac look like next year if it was Karen and Giselle getting along for, you know, most of the season and like kind of maybe teaming up. And then Candace and Ashley potentially moving forward together. I mean, like that would be really interesting to me.
That would be interesting because we don't need everyone to fight, especially we know that like Potomac, they can have fun. They're so funny and so smart. And I like Mia. I really love Mia. I think that she can be super messy. I think that she can kind of pull in and she sort of goes with the flow. So I'd like to see more of that. I don't think Robin should have another baby. I don't.
You know, so. I, I would love to see a wedding. I genuinely, that's not even like shady. I just like would genuinely, I would genuinely love to see a wedding. Like I,
I'd love to.
Maybe that's next season finale. You know what I mean? Like I'm just throwing it out there, but
I agree.
I think we need some movement there. With Robin. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. We sure do.
I have an embellished hat. I have.
And how is it?
Tara, this wonderful listener of my show who I met in person for the last event that we had brought me one. And it's amazing. That silk lining is to die for.
Amazing. So, wow.
Get one.
Support embellish, guys. All right. So Salt Lake City. I mean, I feel like we went from 50 to 100 in the past couple of weeks. Like it's just been like bulldozering through this, like just curveball. And I feel like the season was sort of shaping up to be all about Mary and her church. And I think that was sort of like the plan almost. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we get this like, you know, wrench in the plan, and now it's going to be about both. It seems Jen and the Mary of it all, which is just like, that's enough for one season.
That's a lot to take in. I have to agree with Meredith that, oh my God, I just sound like Sylvester. I have to agree with Meredith on Watch What Happens Live, where, you know, she was saying like, why don't we get all, and on the show, let's get all the facts. Like let's, before we start taking down another housewife in our group, like let's just slow our roll and like, you know, just line it up, see what's going on here before we start to make these really broad sweeping accusations and bring all this stuff into this world. And I think that that is such, you know, housewives can be so reckless to stir stuff up. And so I agree with Meredith. I think that the whole stuff with all the stuff with Mary seems very bizarre to me. Mm-hmm. However, I'm not ready to jump to conclusions with her. I'm not ready to go there. Like as bizarro as some things are painted out to be, I'm like, I need to just take my time.
Totally. And we've all heard, like, we've all heard whisperings and seen things from like Reddit, like deep in Reddit and like random tweets and things like that. But I agree with you where I sort of just want it presented of like, okay, here's what she's actually being accused of. Here's like what people actually think she did.
Yeah.
And then move forward from there and see maybe how she can explain it or not.
Agree.
And
also, how did Cameron die? That is just like,
I know.
Nobody knows. Why can't we find that out?
It wasn't that recent. I mean, like
it was in June.
Yeah. It's been months. So
I don't understand how that has.
It's all definitely like a, weird. It makes me feel uneasy, the whole thing. And it's a little icky feeling, but it's sort of like, I've heard a bunch of the crazy theories and accusations that are, again, pretty kind of deep in the internet. And I think that's what they're vaguely referencing a lot. They're vaguely referencing a lot of this stuff. And that's sort of what Lisa was doing for a while, but then she kind of came out with that big, like, you know, he gave her $300,000 from his house. But I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see how this interplays with the Jen Shaw of it all. You know, it's just like, it's, these are two huge situations.
It's so much for the fandom to take, you know, I mean, but it's so good. And I think it's such a fascinating city and franchise that they have there with the religious backdrop and, the alleged criminal backdrop. I mean, I just didn't think that the Housewives franchise would be here in this space today. You know, I mean, the worst I thought was like bankruptcy and, you know, like foreclosures and, you know, vow renewals going
here and there, maybe.
Yeah.
Right.
But to be here is kind of scary and wild. And, I mean, I know we love to watch.
And I think to me, like we talked earlier about sort of how social media has impacted the housewives. And I think that Salt, you know, Potomac and Dallas were added sort of like, you know, halfway through the run that we've had, but like Salt Lake City to me is the first real post Instagram, like these women have learned from all the shows. Like to me, that's what this show is. And it's not a bad thing, but I think it just, it gives it this different quality, you know, where they're all really hyper aware.
Gangbusters, you know, Jen came out just shooting from all sides. And so in a way, which was too much, but at the same time, I really like Jen on the show. Like I think that when she was on Watch Happens Live and she had like the microphone and she just, it was like, stand down. Like, this is too much. Like we can't take this much so many housewives tropes all in one, like you're doing too much, you know, the shamazing and the pink microphone and all this stuff. It was she was coming in hot. However, I do think that she has been incredible on the show. And again, one of those things where I was looking forward to seeing her evolution to perhaps, like, you know, calm it down, find the balance, find the balance and be a little bit more organic. And we can be forgiving about her trying to be like this exceptional, like nutty housewife, because at least she's trying, you know. But now, organically, here we are with a storyline that we certainly did not expect, which is terrifying.
Certainly did not expect. And I think to me, what's really going to be really interesting to see is it seems as though Heather particularly, but also Lisa and to a lesser extent, Whitney, they don't like shun her from the group. It seems like they sort of come back around and sort of either, you know, temporarily embrace her or there's some sort of like kind of welcoming that happens back with Jen and with half the group, I would say. And I'm curious how you sort of think about that. Cause obviously, you know, she's been accused of a lot of really heinous things. Mm. She hasn't been convicted yet, but then it's sort of like, if she is convicted, you know, are they just going to like back away? You know, I'm curious how they're thinking about that.
Genuinely, I think Heather won't back away because she said so, and she's laid her case out as to why she would not. Right. She does feel like, you know, with friends, that the thing that matters most is when you're there for them when it actually matters. I completely respect that. I think that's unbelievable. Yeah. But I'm more on Meredith's side, where it's like, if this is what she's been doing, I'm goodbye. You know, I'm disengaging. Like I do feel like there comes a time where, if in fact she is guilty of these crimes, I suppose you'd have to wait and see. But if that's true, how can you be friends with somebody who is defrauding elderly people? That's right. Just like you know, but also Meredith has more personal things that have happened to her, so she can be separated from that. Heather's not in that situation. I think it's also good for the show. Whitney is not stupid. Whitney has proven to us this season, she's incredibly intelligent.
Very perceptive.
And very perceptive. And she realizes probably like somebody has to be Jen's ally. And this is good for the show. So someone's got to do it. We're stuck in this situation. It's like, it's almost like family, you know, you're a family. So what are you going to do? We have to get together for holidays. Right. We have to see each other. What are we going to, coexist. So there are going to be some family members who are not going to put up with it, and they're going to skip that Thanksgiving, or they'll come in and leave. But like Meredith, don't invite me if you're going to invite her. You know, this is like a family. So they do have to choose. And I think that it's smart to have some allyship behind Jen, or else we won't be able to see Jen. We won't be able to film with Jen. So, I mean, it's kind of like, I get it.
You get it. Yeah. But we don't want to what happened with Denise and Vanderpump, where it's sort of, they feel so out of it that they don't even want to engage or film or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's where I think you and I probably agree on the Rinna thing, where we're like, why did you push Denise so hard? Like, that was not necessary.
It was tough.
That was really rough. I wanted Denise to come back.
Me too.
But yes, I agree. You kind of have to stay the course, where you're right. They can't be too isolated or else they're not on the show. And then what are you going to do? You know?
Totally.
You got to catch the story.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, another one of the shows that I think is like, honestly, maybe one of my instant top shows is like ever, is Ultimate Girls Trip. Like I am having such a fun time with that show. Yes. What's your relationship like with Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip? It's just like so fun to me. And we're seeing so many different sides of these women.
I love it so much. And wild, because at first when they announced it, I was like, oh my God, no, we're not to the end yet. Because obviously everybody, you know, Andy said he'd never do that unless the franchise was dying. But I think it's the right time and it's the right place, because we have been in this for like over 10 years. So I think it is like, after a decade, you gotta start doing stuff like this. People want it. They want to see them on an island all meshed up together. Mm-hmm. And with the parodies that I've done, it's funny, like on my radio show, I'm always doing mashups, like, you know, put them in a house. And it's like, I've been doing these voices where it's like, yeah, Ramona, I can't. Yeah, you drinking too much Pinot Grigio. I don't know what that is. And everyone was like, oh my gosh, Teresa, what are you doing? You know, like, so I've been doing these voices back and forth for so long that now I'm like watching it. I'm like, this is real. It's so bizarre. It's so hard bizarre. To like switch gears, but I also love it. And I want them to break the fourth wall a little more. I'd like them to talk more about the show. And I think that that's where they're going to get their golden nuggets. I don't know how they would navigate that space going from there and then going back on their actual shows. Mm-hmm. I think that's weird. But so far, I like the scratching of the surface of like, let's talk about the show. Let's talk about the show, because that's what it is.
that episode with the pajama party where they were sort of talking about some of the Nene stuff and some of the Jacqueline stuff, and they went around the table and like, you know, shared how it affected their relationships. That was so interesting to me. And like, it's just, I mean, that we've never gotten any of that before, ever.
No. You know, it's a real gift. It's a real gift. And like on the heels of the Not All Diamonds and Rosé book, I mean, it's all kind of, it's a really interesting time, don't you think?
It is.
It's like they're pulling the curtain back. They're going, okay, we want to let you guys in a little bit more before we move forward. And I think that's smart because that we're here. This is where, this is us. Hashtag this is us.
Hashtag this is us. And they saw that it worked. They saw that it worked on Beverly Hills with the Bravo, 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 Denise thing. And like that season was probably the biggest instance of that. And then Potomac, we saw some of that. Point. And I think they've been testing the waters. I think that like, it seems like on Beverly Hills, they pulled back from that a little bit. I think they maybe think they went too far, but I think they saw that people love that. And so like,
I didn't even put that together. That's a really good point. That was the straw that broke the camel's back in Morocco when the camel took off with Luann on top of it. I mean,
way back when, you know, it all started back then.
Got to get down from here. This is terrible.
Oh my God. You're so good. Who has surprised you the most in terms of like how you're reacting to them or the sides that they're showing within this group of Housewives veterans? Cause for me, it's Cynthia. I'm sort of like surprised that she's coming off almost like, I mean, it's not unlikable, but she's almost coming off the least likable because she's getting sort of personally offended at some of these sort of little things. And I get her perspective on it, but I'm surprised because I love her on Atlanta. I loved her on Atlanta, but it's I'm having a different reaction to her in this setting.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. I appreciate that. Cynthia is one of my favorite housewives.
I love her.
Actually,
I do love her.
And so I completely love this perspective because it does. It's amazing what it does to take somebody out of their environment and put them in somewhere else and see a completely different side. And that's what I love. I like seeing the gradients here. And this makes me, I was so bummed when I knew she wasn't coming back. I'm like, damn it.
I know.
But then when we found out she was on Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, I was like, okay, cool. And maybe she'll eventually come back to Atlanta at some point. But I love her journey. I love her story. And I also am surprised by how much I love Melissa. It's not like I didn't love Melissa, but it's just like I appreciate her so much more in this situation. Mm-hmm. And I love Kenya. Like
she's winning it for me. She is just
me
like,
too.
It's incredible. Because I think part of it is like, within their respective shows, it's like people have almost just passed judgment and sort of they accept sort of what they're going to get from a Kenya or a Melissa or a Cynthia even. And then to put them in this situation to see how they all like, they all love Kenya and they all love Melissa. And it's like, it's so interesting. I don't know.
It is so interesting. It's like a bizarro world.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's they've turned it upside down and who would have thought, you know?
Yeah.
It's just so exciting.
And it's like confirmation on certain, I mean, it's like the reaction to Ramona is just like, I think, again, like love her, hate her, whatever, like she's Ramona, but I think seeing how some of these other housewives have reacted to spending time with her for so long probably confirms people out there, like what their opinions on Ramona. So I think it's been so interesting. And I
know.
I think
Ramona was needed. Ramona was needed for this first edition of the Housewives franchise. Cause she's not afraid to be in there and go in there and be the villain and be like stir up trouble. She's just not, she doesn't care. So it's kind of nice to be able to like see them all react out of horror and be like, what? It's fun.
It's real. Yeah. And it makes me excited for what's going to go on at Dorinda's house, whenever that with all the ex-wives, like it's going to be great.
That is going to be bonkers. I cannot wait.
Some other quick just things. Where are you on with Roni right now? Obviously we're on a big pause. We've been told maybe not for another year. We're going to get anything new from there. Mm-hmm. What do you hope happens there?
Good that it's a pause. I think that's smart because I was upset that we didn't get a reunion. And then I was like, boy, I'm a real hypocrite because I complained about the season all season. And then I'm like, where's my reunion? And they're like, well, you didn't like the season, right? And I'm like, oh, right. I did.
We were all in that same boat.
I know. I'm like, we're such little like, you know, it's just, we're never satisfied. And, but I do think it's smart to just wait and see. In terms of casting, gosh, it would be fun to just like really mix it up. And I know we always say that, like in every city, like, wouldn't it be great to just like wipe the slate clean and just start over and stuff like that. And we always say that, but I think for Roni, maybe it is time to do that. But I don't know. I'm not sure what the right answer is for that. And I'm glad that I'm not in charge of that. You know what I'm saying?
Those are tough waters to navigate. Because
not everyone's going to be happy. Like, you know, if you do start from scratch, people are going to be mad that you got rid of like OGs. And if you keep some and get rid of others and add some new people in, they're going to be mad at the, you know, you just with New York, I feel like they have a real upward climb. And I think it's going to be difficult to please everybody, but I think if they take some risks, I think that'll pay off. I think that'll be fun to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you're right. And I think you're right in that. I think the pause will kind of temper some of that really heated opinion for whatever they are going to announce. Like if they're going to, the waters will subside a little bit and it's going to be interesting. I don't know. Cause Roni is historically my favorite and last season was tough. So
yes, of course. I understand. I mean, you live there too. So I'm sure you probably talk to a lot of housewives being there and you probably interact with a lot of them. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the events.
Who's your favorite New York housewife?
I think Sonia is my favorite. I love Sonia. I think she's just like endlessly entertaining. I think she's one of the funniest housewives of all time. I love her. And she's such a sweet person too. And I think she has such a heart of gold. And I think that sometimes that can be forgotten, I think, in some of the messiness around her. But I think when Sonia is great, I think that there are very few that are better than her. So,
that's such a wonderful compliment to give to a housewife. And I could not agree with you more. The sweetest housewife that has ever existed is the Sonia Morgan. Sonia Tremont Morgan.
Wow.
Family crest. Yeah. Now you love me. I love her so much.
Oh my gosh, Amy. Well, this has been so, so fun. I think we've covered most of our bases, I think, here. But what do you want to plug before we sign off? Because I know you have a lot of projects going.
Well, this book, Cook It, Spill It, Throw It, it's a great holiday gift. And just a gift for anybody who loves housewives. It's a real cookbook about the real housewives, and it is available anywhere books are sold. And you can listen to my SiriusXM show. I recap all the housewives Monday through Friday and beyond, all the shows on Bravo. We did Project Runway. That was so much fun, Gibson.
I never get to talk about the non-housewives shows or the non-summer house shows. So it's fun to kind of remind people that Project Runway, Top Chef, Million Dollar Listing, those all exist still and they're all still great.
They do. And they're so phenomenal. And they're recapping that with you. We had so much fun. That was really, really special show for me. I really love that. So I'm on SiriusXM Radio Andy, channel 102, and it's at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific.
Tune in, you guys. Buy the book. It's really, really fun. And it's kind of like a collector's item. It's just one of those things that you need to have if you're a Housewives fan. So Amy Phillips, thank you so much.
Thank you, Gibson.
At this rate, our paths will cross very soon again.
Yes. Come back and do my show anytime.
Anytime. Okay, thanks, good. Amy.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. For more celebrity interviews, subscribe to We Should Talk on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us, as any show of support you can give us would be greatly appreciated. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Twitter and Instagram, and you can follow In The Know at In The Know on Twitter and at Watch In The Know on Instagram. We'll talk to you next time.